And it's official. Boris Johnson is Britain's next prime minister. Under Britain's parliamentary system, his Conservative Party cast the only votes. He got 92,000 of them. So now the former mayor of London, former foreign secretary, former columnist with what colleagues called a loose relationship with the truth, who delighted fans by skewering the EU, will lead Britain's exit from the EU. He spoke today about uniting a country polarized by Brexit.
We again have to reconcile two sets of instincts, two noble sets of instincts, between the deep desire for friendship and free trade and mutual support in security and defence between Britain and our European partners, and the simultaneous desire for democratic self-government in this country.
We'll hear more elsewhere about what Boris Johnson means politically, but who is he? He comes from a family well known in Britain, like Johnson, against Brexit before they were for it. Colorful, as Sarah Lyle of the New York Times writes, they hold a place in British life that's somewhere between a comic version of the Kennedys and the Kardashians. She is in London. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And we'll link people to your recent writing. It's terrific. But as you all know, many Brits think that Boris Johnson is a buffoon. His former editor at The Telegraph warned he's unfit for national office. Others think he's brilliant. So first, what are you hearing on the street?
Well, there are two sides to him. He is super articulate. He's very smart. He's very well educated. He comes across as a smart person when he wants to be. But the other side of him is sloppy and poorly prepared, and he likes to wing it at the last minute. And I think one of the big questions people have is which of these two Boris Johnsons will come to the fore now that he's prime minister. He's sort of gotten through his career mostly on charm and bluster and saying interesting stuff without a lot of follow-through, and it doesn't seem likely that you can do a good job as prime minister if you take that approach.
Another one of his editors said, you know, you can play loose with the truth, you can be confrontational and controversial and entertaining, but I'm not sure that's what we want for our prime minister. But start with that start to his career. A columnist, he was based in Brussels, he was 24, banging out what The Independent called semi-true dispatches, upper class, Oxford educated, but with this new kind of gleeful, hip, conservative style of lying. I mean, talk a little bit about him as a columnist.
He was sent to Brussels to cover the European Union for the Daily Telegraph, which is a conservative-leaning newspaper. And it's a boring story. You know, it's a story about bureaucrats. It's a story about legislation. And his approach was, I will write in the most entertaining way possible, and I will put in the newspaper half-truths, sort-of-truths, untruths, in order to advance the general theme that the European Union is an out-of-touch bureaucracy who's trying to stop the people of Britain from doing the things they want. And he got a reputation as being the most entertaining reporter writing from Brussels at the time. And it also appealed very much to a strain of the Conservative Party that distrusted Europe and didn't like the European Union.
Well, Martin Fletcher, who was his former Times editor, put together this list of some of the things that he said that were not true. He wrote that the EU wanted to standardize coffins, the smell of manure, and the size of condoms. Not true. He warned Brits that their prawn cocktail-flavored chips would be banned, their sausages were under threat, and their fishermen would have to wear hairnets. Not true. But Johnson himself told an interviewer, this was in 2005, everything I wrote from Brussels, I was sort of chucking these rocks over the garden wall, and it was fun to hear them crash through the greenhouse on the other side. He started to really like this.
He did. He started to get a reputation for himself as someone who was really telling the truth about the EU, and it started to affect Conservative Party policy. Margaret Thatcher, back in the 90s, had said he was her favorite reporter from Brussels, and it started to inform that strain of Conservative Party thinking. And so it very much appealed to what some people wanted to hear about Brussels. And it was really a dangerous thing because it infected all the coverage of Brussels from all the newspapers because his competitors were under pressure from their own editors to write stories about the sort of things that Boris was writing about. And they would tell their editors these things are untrue. And the editors will say, well, Boris has it. And they'd be under pressure to sort of come up with the same kind of things. it had a much wider effect than just one person writing something in one newspaper.
Yeah. Well, so now he takes center stage in Britain, and onto the stage also troops his family, very much already on the stage. Why was his family so well known?
You know, it's an interesting family. His father actually worked for the European Union, worked as a member of the European Parliament. They were raised partly in Brussels. There were four kids. Three of them have white blonde hair, just like their dad. And they're raised to be really competitive, and they were raised to all want to be public figures, it feels like. They're all very bright. They all went to Oxford. Some of them are writers. Another of Boris's brothers is a former journalist who's now a member of parliament. His sister is a columnist, a writer, an author, a reality TV star. His dad is a reality TV star. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, you know, they're doing what a lot of kind of the chattering classes, as they're called here, do to make a living. And they've all slightly glommed on to Boris's brand as a way to associate themselves with him and possibly burnish their own brands as he's gone toward becoming prime minister.
Well, this is fascinating because, well, first of all, Chia, first family that's involved with reality shows, how could that ever happen? You know, we, of course, have
But, you know, it's sort of smaller scale. You know, it's like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. So his dad was on that. His sister was on Celebrity Big Brother. But, you know, it is a small world in Britain. It doesn't feel as kind of insane as it would if, let's say, one of the Trump kids was on a TV show like that. Of course, Trump Sr. was on a TV show like that, but not since he's become president.
But it is interesting because you mentioned Stanley, the father, well-known environmentalist, as you said, worked for the EU, was very much a Remainer against Brexit. Brother Joe, member of parliament, was very much against Brexit. In fact, tried to work within the group to craft a deal for then Prime Minister May. Sister Rachel, columnist, novelist, former magazine editor, talk show, talking head, reality TV star, tried to run for a seat on the European Parliament, failed, but was very much pro-Remain. All of them have thrown out their own ideals to now join their brother Boris and be pro-Brexit. All but one, Leo, the only sibling who's not blonde, who seems to, you know, be the one most willing to speak out against his brother when Boris Johnson said that women in burqas look like, I think, bank robbers in letterboxes. Brother Leo finally came out of some sort of silence to tweet out, I would hope this round of competitive bigotry could end. Silence doesn't mean consent. He's married to a Muslim.
He's married to a Muslim. He actually has been very quiet. I mean, it feels pretty clear that he's pro-Remain. He has not been political. He has not come out with his family on any of these political rallies that Boris has been in. As for Rachel, she's very much still pro-Remain, but she's sort of come around as a supporter of her brother.
Well, and the members of the Conservative Party have, in effect, voted in the entire family. But, of course, Boris Johnson is prime minister. What's the sense going forward? You said the question is, which one will they get? We also have to put into the mix calls to his home about a domestic dispute. Calls recently that everyone in Britain should speak English, which, of course, people in Wales, other parts of Britain that don't speak English were upset about this. What is the sense of what kind of a leader they're going to get?
Well, he really has come in at a very difficult time in public life because the looming issue over the next few months will be Brexit. It doesn't feel like there's going to be a lot of time in the next few months to engage in some of that other stuff. I think, you know, he will put out his legislative agenda tomorrow when he makes his speech outside Downing Street as prime minister. But again, the main thing he's going to have to do is Brexit, and he's going to have to be pretty serious. I mean, Europe needs to be negotiated with. At the moment, it feels like they don't really respect him, and he's going to have to show that he is can rise to an occasion and can be a statesman and can have real policies and can kind of stop making off-the-cuff jokes and remarks that are fine when you're not really in power but look very different when you are in power.
We will see. Sarah Lyle of the New York Times, and we'll link you again to her writing about Boris Johnson and his family at herenow.org. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.